Hi, this is Dave Patterson, and welcome to Series 4, Episode 2 of Frankenstein's RPG podcast. And if you remember, we're trying to build a liminal campaign, and hopefully at the end of this series we'll try and get it published, which should be interesting. I'm joined in this episode by Kat, Paul, Matt and Mark, as we try to think of ways of putting to bed a very restless ghost, a queen of the rats, and also a French fae court. Shenanigans ahoy. There's a couple of bits in this that probably don't make it suitable for minors, so have a think about that. I'll make sure that it's pointed out on the podcast when it uploads. But I hope you enjoy it. Thank you very much for joining us once again. And then next time we'll be looking slightly further north on this very oddest of adventures. Speak to you soon.
Dave, don't you see, I overplan. You're talking to a man who, when he did his last liminal scenario, had it such that in the Lower Quinton Parish Council minutes over a particular range, there was one planning application that looked different to the others, and the players found this, and they went, But this is it. What is this? And you go, yes. I laid that clue. Well, I didn't lay that clue for you because it was there already, but I overprepare. I know I overprepare.
We've employed a financial advisor who I was anticipating was going to tell me that I was going to have to work until I'm 80. Mm-hmm. And he rather surprised me because he said, well, when do you want to retire? And of course I said, well, today, please. Mm-hmm. And if you say yes, I'm handing in my notice today. And he went, oh, no. It's not that bad, though. 4 years' time.
Wow. It's like,
yeah, well, exactly. And then you go, bloody hell. That's pretty good, you know.
Yeah, blimey, look at you.
How do you wrangle that, Dave? That's good.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I'll be homeless, obviously. I'll be living on the streets, but, you know, fingers crossed.
Status quo, then.
Yeah. Situation normal.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, if your retirement plan is living on the street and eating foods out of bins, technically you don't need any savings.
Indeed.
Shall let you back in one day, Dave.
Yeah, just a tent near a McDonald's is my retirement plan. Yeah. And how are you planning for your retirement? Well, you know, millets have got a sale on. Yeah.
Your little card will say, my only income is a liminal supplement.
Hello, everybody. First, welcome. Thank you very much indeed for being here. Really appreciate you giving up your time. To the insane Frankenstein's RPG podcast. Sorry, I was a bit distracted earlier on because they now offer on here on the Zoom meeting, they offer the closed captions. So it can do like a text version. And then in the editing software that I've got, it does the same thing. So I'm thinking of releasing them as a transcript. And just because sometimes the mistakes are absolutely brilliant, you know. And lots of swear words get introduced off. I don't know why.
That's poor.
Anyway, sorry, bigger. But welcome. Episode 2 of Series 4. And in this one, we're looking back to the London scenario that we talked about in the last series. And that was the winner was Matt, who's going to introduce himself very shortly. So we're going to talk around that. We're going to talk about some of the bits that are what comes out of the scenario, how do we sort of see it developing? And then obviously we need to introduce the big bad and we'll remind everybody of what that was at the time and how they're going to fit into the scenario, how that's going to work, how we can fit everything together. And then the other little bit at the end is, okay, what do we anticipate as being the progression, what might be happening with the characters that are involved in this, how might it all break down. Okay, does that make sense? So if I can start in time on a Celebrity Squares fashion, top left in the Pat Coombs seat is Mark. Mark, do you want to introduce yourself?
Mark Willoughby. I am at Willoughby Wright on Blue Sky, nowhere else, Blue Sky, and Mark Willoughby on Discord.
Fantastic, thank you very much. Matthew.
Hi, evening. I'm Matthew and at Asaka underscore so on X, and I'm on Blue Sky too, but I can't quite remember my username there. And thank you for having me on. I run, play games and organise the Albion Wizards Staff Convention.
Yeah, coming soon. Kat.
I am the editor of Nevermind Dice Rolls, and I am on all social media as Nevermind the Dice Rolls. I have given up having my own identity these days.
NMTDR, remember everybody. And then last, but very definitely not least, Paul.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I'm Paul Michener. What do you need to say? Oh, yeah, I'm the Tweedmeister on Blue Sky. I don't know. I mean, if you've been listening to this podcast, you've possibly heard me before.
Yeah, yes,
it's not like the first time you've heard me.
No. The only more regular contributor, I think, is me.
Does Dave keep you locked away somewhere, Paul?
I do, actually. This room, I pretend it's sort of, top floor in Sheffield, but actually it's Dave's basement.
Yeah.
And he won't let me leave. But he does give he gives me the slops from his beer, so that's okay.
Nice.
Survive on that.
Unusually generous.
Of which there's quite a bit, and I sort of post ham underneath the door periodically. Yeah,
that's quite handy, actually, because there's enough of a gap to get it through, and you don't need to open it otherwise or engage with me face to face.
They call me the Joseph Fritzl of Aldershot. I'll leave that one there. Good. So, if press that X card now, everybody. I am sorry. X card.
What's the only one I lock
up? I don't lock anybody else up, honestly.
Well, it sounds bad. I mean, Matthew's finding this distressing, but for me, it's reality.
If there's a disturbing echo on this podcast, I'll have to go down and bang on the floors. Quiet in there, Michener.
Give me some ham.
Know your place. Write another role-playing game, God damn it. Anyway, so we said where we would start, not with any kind of kidnapping or anything else. We said we would start with a sort of a recap of the scenario. So if you remember, what we actually voted on was, I'll briefly sort of outline the others. So we had Mark. Mark, you have to do the sort of the elevator pitch that you had, which was, began with betrayal. So what was the elevator pitch?
You didn't write it down, did you, Dave?
I did. I was going to let you take the glory. I can do it if you like.
No, it's a journey begins, betrayal, slow horses, and the search for the soul of a city.
By far the most lyrical synopsis that we had, which was fantastic. And if you remember, in that, what we had was an introduction of the first guard of the tower, the second guard of the tower was the other one. We had the Westminster. If you remember, we had the library. Which used to be Sir Isaac Newton's house as well, which I thought was absolutely lovely touch. And then the search for the soul involved Brutus of Troy, King Lud, and Ludgate Hill, and it was about the spirit of Lud, who was still there. Now, Kat, your idea was slightly different. Can you give us a quick précis of what your idea was? And if you can't, I can.
I was going to say, I'll let you take the glory. I know that because I brought back the Ravens late in a later episode, I really went more for things that slot in on everyone else's ideas, I think. Most of mine, as I said, was the Ravens of the Tower, who could be wizards themselves that are transformed to protect London forever, hence why there's always a Raven in the Tower. they just constantly keep on getting reborn. Or the ravens could be working for other people again. So it's they're fairly loose. They could be anything. But I kind of like the idea of a tower of wizards, a cabal of wizards running from the Tower of London.
Yeah, and then the other thing was about the introduction being the ley line went out through London to Silbury Hill, I think it was.
Silbury Hill, yes, they do.
Potentially being
they go all over the place. And you could loosely tie up a lot of the scenario with various ley lines going up the country.
Yeah. So, and then the last of those was my one, which was about the Lord Mayor's show and about having to give a rose to the Queen of Hyde Park, which is actually something that takes place in the Lord Mayor's show anyway. And that was then about sort of trying to engage the Fae in London. So we had a they will then, as we sort of discussed in the last episode, they will then become plot seeds. So following the format that's in most of the other sort of liminal publications, where we'll have a very brief scenario and they'll be included as, and these are the other things that might be going on. You might want to weave these into the story. They may well then be scenarios that happen somewhere else, but it seems such a shame to lose them. And I think it was pointed out, I think it was Nook that pointed out last time, it'd be such a shame to lose some fantastic ideas that are out there, you know, that were in that first series looking at this. So we need to involve those in the final publication. However, the winner chicken dinner was Matt's scenario by a vote of 2-1-1. Matthew, what was your scenario? If you can't remember, I certainly can.
So the idea was linked around this chap you mentioned, Bishop Rehare, who essentially was a priest who tried to make recompense for the loss of William Avalyn, the heir to Henry I, who died on the way back from Normandy, I think, and ended up founding Bart's Hospital and Bart's Church. So in my kind of mind, the scenario starts, as I think I said in the last episode, with like the opening for Ghostbusters. So essentially the investigators running into St. Bart's Hospital, strokes St. Bart's Church, and mayhem ensuing. So a ghost gone wild, people being frightened, things being thrown around, and the investigators have to kind of pitch in and solve the mystery of why this ghost is distressed and perhaps put him to rest again. And there's a bit of backstory we discuss about why the bishop may have been woken up, I suppose.
Yep, which was about the work on the Elizabeth line, wasn't it?
Yeah, so the idea was, I think, based upon your wider campaign setting, was that I think Smithfield is kind of close-ish to where the A1 Great North Road starts, which is the location of St. Bart's. So, yeah, and the Elizabeth line went under there. So the idea is it's caused some disruption to ley line structure and also, more importantly, let one of the NPC villains, as it were, from the liminal Londinium book gain access into the foundations of the church, maybe the cellar of the church, who's Queen Rat. And she causes further mayhem by seducing one of the current priests, as it were. And through that, that kind of upsets and releases the bishop.
Okay. The issue that we then got is we need to find a way. So who is it that we're actually trying to do the ritual with? And again, this is an open question, so anybody else can sort of chime in, because we've got several people with whom we can treat, haven't we? We've got several people who we need to sort of potentially go through the ritual with.
Yep.
So is the person who holds the ritual, is it the Bishop Rehare and therefore the ghost world? Is it Queen Rat? Because clearly she has a stake in the underground world within London. Or is it another entity? Is it somebody else that we need to be appeasing? Who is it we're actually doing the treaty with?
Anyone? Well, the faction I mentioned, and again, we don't need to use them, but was this kind of idea of a kind of French Fae court, either based in London or based on the continent, because the idea was that I think in my kind of setup was that the William Avalyn died because the French Fae were trying to limit the Norman King's power. So the bishop had tried to kind of correct this and reconnect the kings of England to their kind of French domain. So again, that's where the ley line originally came in when Barts was founded. So there could be some kind of reconsecration, recreation of that with a blessing of this French court. So that's one negotiation I had. That's kind of top end negotiations, as it were. There's probably a more local, low level bit of resolution, both with the bishop and with Queen Rapp. And of course, you can bring in the other things we've talked about, the giants and the ravens. I know we're keen to fit in, aren't we?
Yeah.
So do you think that would be then a... So you're going for the blessing of the French Fay Court, and they go, oh, this is all very well. However, there's a spot of bother we need you to deal with first. And that, yeah, okay.
Could well be.
Is the putting to bed of...
Okay.
Over here.
Got the, I mean... You can always do it. The Queen Rat, where the ritual needs to be held is underground. So we're going to need, they will need to get Queen Rat's permission, because she could put a block on a lot of stuff magically, just purely being awkward, because it's her domain. She probably has all sorts of resources. So possibly part of the thing the players have to do is parley with her to get her to agree to it all. But also they're going between the French court and, you know, Queen Rat. Essentially, you know, England is her domain. Now, she's got the artificial, slight love-hate relationship with the French. She's not going to be the easiest to persuade. And particularly as the French Fay Court is probably more the Norman French Court, because they've probably been around that long. So trying to get those agreements that the French Court can, you know, come in and complete this ritual... possibly, maybe she's even holding Rahair captive somewhere. I mean, she's a powerful enough fae. She could potentially, it's negotiate with her, negotiate to get him released from wherever she's sort of tied him up, as it were. That would be a simpler task for people to be able to complete.
Yeah.
But then you could then send them up the country with, yes, okay, you can do that, but I need this doing, which would help you go to the next chapter, next lot of people's stuff.
Okay. So sort of what's in it for Queen Rat?
Yeah.
Is Rahair a part of the French Fay Court?
Maybe he was human, maybe he was, just a holy man. Who knows of them? I mean, if he came from Normandy, he could do. I mean, to be fair, back then there was such a mixing of, you know, what we would call English aristocrats sort of came from the Normans anyway. So
yeah,
he could be, but by now we consider him probably still a foreigner. But
okay, Paul, what's your sort of view on it?
My view is this is the point where we need to get Gog and Magog involved, surely.
See, I mean, Paul, I always thought Gog and Magog were, I mean, anywhere where there's a door, you might find them left guarding a door. I always feel that, I mean, I think at some point somebody did that, it might have been you, Dave, sort of said, oh, it's a bit like kind of hail and pace at this point. They just sort of, they turn up and they, as the management, and it's just... you know, we're Gog and Magog. We're giants.
Do you need to explain the Hale and Pace reference for people?
No.
Under the age of about 50.
Yeah. That's what Wikipedia's for.
Okay. Do your own research. That's right.
That's interesting, because I was seeing them more as Statler and Waldorf from The Muppet Show.
Yeah, that's where I went. I placed it automatically in my head with them, so...
All visions are equally good. I did see them as a kind of a walk-on. So
yeah.
Then if you need them, if you need somebody to get in the way, if you need somebody to obstruct, and then perhaps later on you need somebody to help, or you need somebody just to turn up to lighten the mood or something. I'll just do my quick Gog and Magog pitch again. They have a grievance. They do have a grievance because they were trapped to defend London. So they've been in London longer than, well, as long as there's been a London, more or less. So they're also sort of quite protective and quite fond of it. So they're potentially interesting. They potentially have some sort of, and as long as you don't make them giant too often, because that's overkill. You know, you can play around with them a bit.
Mm. But they can have that sort of. There'll be they could be different characters in every scenario, couldn't they? So they could be Stadler and Waldorf in one. We talked about them, and I think actually, Paul, it was when we had a discussion in Mitch's corner after this episode. It was about deciding whether they are either ambivalent or whether they're malevolent or whether they've got a completely different agenda. And in the last episode, we talked about lots of different groups having different agendas. And I think the idea that you had there, Mark, about them being recurring characters is they might be completely inconsistent every time they turn up. They may be following an entirely different agenda, which is, hang on a second, you're supposed to be protecting, you know, Britain or the UK or you know, or specifically London or my interests in London or something. So,
but I mean, yeah, they're quite ancient. They've been around a very long time. You know, they have a lot of influences that have seeped into them over time. So that's not. I think when I was originally thinking about it, I had them all as kind of like menacing Victorian kind of Dickensian figures. They're allowed to be complex. They're allowed to be slightly unpredictable. But most of all, if I'm running this campaign, there's going to be a moment where my players are doing something, and it would just be, what am I going to do? Right. In case of emergency, break glass. Gog and Magog, right?
By monkeys, yeah.
I mean, also, someone sort of says they're here to defend London or do something, yeah, they are, but they're ancient. They've been here for donkey's years, so they might even just take the viewpoint of, I'm keeping an eye on this because it's amusing. I've been bored all this time. You lot are vaguely amusing, and I want to keep the fun going on for long enough.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we've been here through this before. You throw a war at us, bombs fall, we rebuild. London's still there, so there's nothing to defend against because it will be rebuilt. So they might have that slightly, not like you, what we're doing at our ants, but it's not too far off because they're so far above. It's like, you're just the most amusing thing I've seen in centuries, that's all.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting one.
You know,
yeah. So maybe they just want to be entertained.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just bored. You know, is that idea of a sort of, you know, a vampire or whatever being just bored of life kind of thing?
And Mark mentioned a doorway, and we have got this kind of metaphorical doorway now between, I guess, the church and the realm of Rehair and this new realm of Queen Rat that's been opened up by Elizabeth Lyon. So we could have them as the kind of guardians, monitor of that. And even as you were talking about famous double acts, I was thinking of it like, you know, Beckett's Tramps Waiting for Godot. So there's maybe two homeless people who come for free soup at the church every week, and those happen to be the part-time giants.
I do quite like that idea. They're just sort of they're not necessarily going to stop you. They're just going, oh, I wouldn't go in there.
Yeah.
I do like them as a sort of floating encounter that can reappear later on as well.
But to follow on to what Kat said, I mean, originally we talked about FCMC.
Arthur D. Corporation.
Yeah. The Arthur D. Corporation had released them from their imprisonment because they were imprisoned by King Brutus. I mean, they were imprisoned by Brutus. So actually, yes, they're now in London, but, oh, you're going for a walk. You're going for a walk up the rest of the country. Oh, we hear about this all the time. We keep hearing all these Northerners appearing, telling us everything's so expensive. Let's go to the place where it's all cheap. They might sort of, not exactly stalkers or but, you know, your band on tour, and then they're the kind of the fans that appear occasionally, or the people that just crop up. What are you up to this?
Well, they're the roadies, yeah. Okay.
I like the idea. They're finding the PCs entertaining. So if things are going too easy for them, they can hinder. If it looks like they're going to give up, they might help.
Yes. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, they could serve as a kind of tool for the GM to give bits of, you know, random riddly advice, I guess, if needed, or red herrings.
I suppose, and if the players just don't take to them at all, they fade away.
Yeah.
But why would the players not speak to them?
Oh, they must do. Okay, so good. Well, we've probably got Gog and Magog. The other thing that we talked about in the last episode was there will be tokens and that the ritual will involve the exchange of tokens. Now, exactly what they look like is sort of yet to be confirmed, really, by Nook and Ralph, I think it was. But on the idea that it was something that will come from the Royal Mint, and it forms the basis almost of a, we are essentially exchanging this token with you. Let's say it's Queen Rat is the first one we have to do. Oh, sorry, no, it's the French Fay Court, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, this is we're upholding our part of the bargain. This is paying you for your continued obeisance to the rituals. So who is in the French Fay Court that we need to sort of buy them off? I guess that might be your first homework, Matt, is who is in the French Fay Court?
I think it could be a kind of, you know, we could almost say it's like a historical repeat. So it could be something around having to give some Anglo-Saxon treasure that the new Norman kings have found to their successors in Normandy, as it were. So it's actually is royal treasury, but it's almost like showing, look, we French took over this island from the Anglo-Saxons and we're giving you some of their treasure to maintain our links. So something from Sutton Hoo or something like that.
Oh, I like that.
Well, that's clever. That's almost the opposite direction I was thinking.
Yeah. Well, what were you thinking?
The opposite direction was something very, very new. So, of course, there's been a recently, you know, the monarch has changed. So maybe some sort of particular coin, either the last minting of the one produced with Queen Elizabeth or the first one with King Charles.
Yeah. Or what if it has both sides? One side is always King Charles. It's the new, that's the new king. That's the new guarantee from the new king. But the other side is what Matthew is referring to.
Yeah.
It looks like it's an Anglo-Saxon something.
Yeah.
And then in the next one, it will be, I think it's the next one is South Mimms, where we're talking to a vampire lord and lady. So essentially that would probably be sodality of the crown. So, you know, it will be something else on the obverse or the reverse, whatever it is, of the coin. King Charles on one side, on the other side is stamped something specific to the vampire, maybe.
I like the idea of King Charles and Edward the Confessor or something like that.
Yeah.
Don't make them too complicated. They might end up as a stretch goal.
Well, I did say that maybe we could print them as something, but it was pointed out to me that minting coins is a very illegal activity, so might want to be a bit sort of...
Well, they wouldn't be sort of fake 50 pence pieces, would they? No. Be something that couldn't be mistaken or recoin.
No, that didn't occur to me whatsoever, Your Honour. I wasn't going to do banknotes or anything like that.
Bags of swag of
doubloon. Yeah, stretch goal, bag of fake £20 notes.
I'm liking this more and more. Okay, so maybe King Charles on one side and something relevant on the other.
Yeah.
I was rather ridiculously thinking, are the French Fay Court literally underground? Not to have any sort of pun on the French underground or anything, but
I do, you know, that is my mental picture of this, actually, that there is an underground sort of area where they can be found.
Yeah.
Possibly some building dating from essentially one of the first Norman buildings in London. Some research would be needed there, but probably not that much.
Yeah.
And then, I imagine the cellars are going to be lower down and then literally lowered sort of underground anyway.
Something that occurred to me was, other than obviously, you know, the Tower of London, was, do you remember the old passport office used to be at Petit France? Or just me? Just me. Okay. There is a very small district of, it's sort of Victoria way, I think, isn't it? Which is called Petit France. And it's where the old passport office used to be. Unless I've just made that up and I need to cut down on my drug taking.
Petit France is a street in the city of Westminster in central London, linking Buckingham Gate with Broadway and Queen's Anne Gate.
Ta-da! Petit France. And it used to be the passport office. It's not anymore. However,
currently houses the Ministry of Justice.
Well, that's a shame. you could the French Fay Court.
They're in the basement. At Temple Bar, which was the ceremonial entrance to the City of London all those years ago. Perhaps they've been held there by Queen Rat.
Ooh.
So they can't enter yet. So that's why they need people to go in, speak to her, get her to agree, so they can come in. Because surely, you know, if you've got people you don't want to speak to, you don't let them through the front door, do you?
I mean, the other thing I'd say is it's surely the French Fay Court are in some sort of Fay domain. The issue is what building the entrance is, and the building being used for a different present day purpose. That doesn't matter. Yeah. That's probably actually an interesting complication.
Yeah, like a radio in Ars Magica Games Ball. So yeah, I'm thinking some kind of gateway to some very stylish smoke-filled nightclub with Europop in the background.
Exactly, and then you walk through and suddenly it's not Europop playing, it's, I don't know, whatever they played in Norman times.
Yeah.
Johnny Halliday.
Johnny.
It's a guess. Okay. I do like the idea of the Temple Bar, though.
Yeah,
and linking it to Gog and Magog, because if Gog and Magog are on the, if your name's French, you're not coming in. You know,
they're clearly the doorman for getting to see the fight. I mean, that's pretty clear.
I was going to say Gog and Magog could turn up at any one of these transitional points, as it were, from church to Queen Rat to London.
Surely the French Fay Court would be somewhere like the Savoy, no?
Depends on how picky the Queen Rat wants to be about keeping them out, or if they are in and they're kind of lurking in safe areas.
You've got to remember, you know, what were the she parts of London at the time of the Norman invasion? And the Savoy could have been a dank fishing pool.
Yeah. Well, it was John of Gaunt's palace, I think, wasn't it?
Well, all right.
That's have I made that?
Well, you could have something along the river, because you know.
Maybe we should each make a suggestion and vote in true Frankenstein
fashion. Oh, okay. Let's get the countdown clock going. You've got 30 seconds to think of where it is that the French Fay Court have been sort of entrapped by Queen Rat. Oh, okay. I'm going to go for my idea is the Savoy, and at the Savoy there's not only a theatre, I think there's a nightclub as well, which has got to be underground. I'm sure it is. If not, there's the American bar, but that doesn't quite work, does it? Which is the cocktail bar. So I'm saying that they're at the Savoy. Has anybody else got a Mark?
I do. The French House in Dean Street, the pub, on the grounds that there should always be a pub in every liminal adventure. And, you know, it should also give the reader the opportunity to have a pub crawl up the country.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Matthew, have you got one?
No, I think I'm going to support Cats, because the Temple Bar does seem to be the surviving entry to the City of London, so it seems to be a good place, a good kind of holding place where they're kind of camped slightly outside but close. So I think Cats' suggestion is a good one. Yeah.
Okay. Cat, have you got another suggestion, or are you going to lump in with the?
No, I'm going to go with Temple Bar, because also near to the Temple Bar there is the Middle Temple Inns of Court. Now that could be a great place for the Fae to hide out. It's got lore, okay. It's got all the things that they can hide behind, and words and trickery that the Fae like. So I'm going with Temple Bar.
So So sorry. Just apropos on this. So the scenario will sort of take the view. They've got to try and find the French Fay Court. They're the people that we're trying to do the deal with. Queen Rat has imprisoned them, but also is complicit with Bishop Rehair going mental in St. Bart's. Paul, do you have a place for the French Fay Court to be inhabiting?
Yes. So, just a second. So next door to St. Bart's, there's another monastic organisation that was founded in the 12th century, the Order of St. John, which is better known as the Knights Hospitaller. So the Priory Church was built in the 1140s. It was gutted in the Blitz, but the crypt survived. So I think descending into this 12th century crypt is where you find the French Fay Court. And there's interesting questions about what were the links between the French Fay and the Knights Hospitaller.
Okay. Or le chevalier du hôpital. Yeah. Ships off the top.
Le chevalier de l'hôpital, yes.
De le GP surgery. Okay. We have a fatuous vote, everybody.
We have
four
a vote
choices.
That's completely so. Matt and Kat can't vote for their own choice, and it's the same choice. In the event of a tie, Paul decides.
Yeah.
It's all gone to chaos.
So we've covered ourselves.
Maybe this was a bad idea.
Madness. It's got to happen, though. Come on. Right. Who's going to vote? Mark, you have to vote. Will it be the Savoy Hotel, direct links to France? Although John of Gaunt was actually John of Ghent, wasn't he? Which would have been Belgium. That's not quite the same. Anyway, shut up. I don't make the rules. I do make the rules in this. Mark, you've gone with the French house in Dean Street. Clearly you can't vote for that. We have the Temple Bar entry to London. And very close by, we have the Middle Temple Inns of Court, where clearly Queen Rat would be right at home in the Inns of Court. And then finally, we have the Order of St. John, the Knights Hospitaller crypt in the church right next door to St. Bart's. So we're in the same geography. Where is your vote going, Mark?
I'm not going to vote for the Savoy. And much as I am tempted for I love a crypt, who doesn't? But on the grounds that I get to vote for Matt and Kat, who I voted for in the original show by voting for their choice, that's what I'm going to do.
Thank you, Mark.
Really does. Don't say thank you. This is supposed to be a hostile environment.
Blood sport.
Okay, Matthew, who are you voting for? Savoy, the French house in Dean Street, if you wanted to return the favour. You can't vote for the Temple Bar or the crypt of the Knights of St. John, Order of St. John Church next door to St. Bart's.
I will vote for the Savoy because I like a hedonistic hotel.
Oh, listen, we're going to have to go and take pictures of some of these places.
I assumed you were paying for little mini breaks for us all to visit them, no?
Yeah, no.
With these fake £20 notes.
Which you definitely haven't had printed. This is why you're spending all this time contacting artists and getting paper stock.
No, they are £20 notes, really, Gov. Kat, you can't vote in a shameless attempt to rig this for yours and Matthew's Temple Bar. We have the Knights of the Order of St. John, the Knights Hospitaller, the crypt. We have the Savoy Hotel, which has an extremely nice cocktail bar, or the French House in Dean Street.
It's a difficult one. have to say, I actually like the Savoy because I like the idea of allowing people to actually have the high life for a bit and go into the Savoy because they're going to be dragged through the mud for the rest of the campaign. So we might as well.
And there's a prospect of a really lovely cocktail at the Savoy in the offing. That's where we do the launch party for the for the book. And then really, you ought to be doing the deciding vote, Paul. So I should probably vote. So I cannot vote for, I can't vote for the Savoy. Right. Okay. I am going to vote for the Temple Bar, Matt and Kat. And the reason being, I can see great hilarity with Gog and Magog standing outside the Temple Bar gates. So it is currently a 2-2 tie between the Savoy and the Temple Bar entry to London. Paul, you can, of course, vote for the French House, but you can't vote for the Order of St. John's Church.
So that's OK. It has no votes. It's out. It's out. No, so
what are you going for?
In seriousness, I think it would be nice to include, I suppose, a well-known London site as the place, which probably does mean the Savoy or the Temple Bar.
And okay.
I feel a bit sorry for Matthew and Kat because they couldn't vote for their own. I mean, and there were two people putting it forward. So I think from that democratic point of view, I will go for the temple. I'll go for the temple. But I'm a bit reluctant.
Once again,
I'm a bit reluctant to lose the Savoy, I must admit. I'm a bit reluctant.
Once again, I find you not in support of my suggestions, Dr. Michener.
I'm very sorry.
I shall no longer refer to you as Lord Paul Sir Professor Dr. Michener. Shocking. Well, the French Fay Court are resident within either the Middle Temple Inns of Court somewhere, and guarding them are Gog and Magog at the Temple Bar. But they are specifically being held captive by Queen Rat. So we have to put to bed, if we want access to the... So we, I'm guessing then that the PCs probably won't know where the French Fay Court are based. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They do know somehow they're going to have to go through Queen Rat because they've got this disturbance and they've got to get to the French Fay Court through that. We then have the presentation of the token. So, okay. So I guess from, and again, I am concerned about not releasing too much information via the sort of the pod so that it spoils the scenario too much. But essentially, the PCs have to somehow put Rahair back in his box, classify Queen Rat, find out where the French Fay Court are, and then hand over. Okay.
Yep.
So the second part of this is, and the bit that we have to have within each of the scenarios. We have the piece about Gog and Magog, who were the big bad in this episode anyway. So we know that Gog and Magog are going to be a recurring character. I think, as you said, I think, Mark, I think you said, they become either a sort of a passive link between some of the scenarios, or they are a resource against which to draw information, or they can be a sort of slightly comedic link, I guess, through some of the scenarios. But how is it that the Arthur D Corporation or, and any other interested parties, how are they looking to benefit from the PCs not being able to complete this adventure? What's in it for them, do you think?
Or do they want the ley line, do they want the ley lines weakened? Are they perhaps the people who did the Elizabeth line route to deliberately disturb it, given their financial and political power?
Okay.
They deliberately disturbed it because they're also behind the very unpopular London to up north rail line that I can constantly forget the name of it. And by weakening ley lines would
weaken HS2,
would weaken the objections from the liminal side of the world all the way up.
Cool.
Potentially. So off the back of what Matt said, basically just putting it into that.
Okay.
Capitalism. It's all down to capitalism.
So Assume that they've got their big overarching thing. They want to stop this happening for a big reason, but this is what might be their small reason within the within this scenario. They're probably quite happy that the Queen Rat has got the French Fae bottled up. They don't need another faction rattling around. So actually, they're probably quite keen to thwart the players trying to put this meddlesome priest, am I allowed to say that, put him to rest.
Okay. Or maybe... Sorry, Kat.
I was going to say maybe things have gone too quiet. So the Queen Elizabeth of disturbing the ghost, knowing that she's got the French court held at bay for whatever reason, means that she can't concentrate on what they're up to. Whatever.
Okay. Well, what about if this is like a misdirect? The players think they've got to do the ritual with Queen Rat. So FCMC are saying, well, you've got to go and see Queen Rat. And maybe the token is the only thing that gives it away, that actually there's something else, somebody else that we should be dealing with.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense. I mean, I did say perhaps Lars and the Ravens being the kind of ambassadors, diplomats between these various courts. So whether actually the Queen Rat, as you say, is a red herring would make things go wrong. And actually they need to find a more neutral, appropriate way of liaising with this court.
Hmm. Okay, Paul.
And the D Company, you know, as you mentioned, it, you know, again, the Ghostbusters analogy. If we want to keep the kind of mystical energy increasing, they could get other ghosts coming in to cause mayhem. So you can get the, you know, William Wallace's and the Heretics and the Lollards coming as well to sort of scream and cause mayhem to distract the player characters. Well, you've got a full on ghost mega battle in Liminal. I'm sure Paul's got a little sub mechanic for that.
Oh, certainly, yeah. Well, nice. Now, I mean, I'm thinking, what does the D Corporation want? It's essentially control of this mystic power that's coming from the Great Northern Route. Yeah. So, really, what would help them get control if others are distracted? So, in particular, in London, having a situation unresolved involving a ghost and that gives them good reason to oppose things involving the French Fae Court. They basically oppose settling the situation in the first place because they quite like having a mad ghost around.
Okay. So they win in a number of different ways. It's the misdirect of the Queen Rat. Well, maybe actually the only thing that's explained is that you've got to do something with a queen. This is going to sound awful now, as I'm saying it in my head. You've got to do something awful with a queen in London. But that's... no. But it could, you know, is it the queen, or is it the queen of the French Fae Court? Do we name her? Does she have a name?
I think the best thing, what we could maybe give her some sort of title that would also very loosely apply to Queen Rat.
That's a good idea.
But how about the Queen under London?
Something of that nature, yeah.
La Reine. What would it be?
Sir Lord.
The Queen on London, yeah. Okay. I like that.
Well, the Queen
so
of Lilies.
So I think this.
I was going to say Queen of Lilies could refer to the Fleur de Lis, but also maybe Lilies is kind of death and that she's a. Lycanthrope. Think about that.
Okay. So, right. We've had a fatuous vote. One other question: are there any other factions who would be involved in the scenario as it is, who could benefit from this? So the other thing is, if there's anybody else, I guess the only one we haven't spoken about, but we've mentioned a few times. Is the Ravens Tower.
Yeah.
And at the moment they're sort of, you know, they're quiescent, aren't they? They are hidden. Is there a way of, and we've talked about the Ravens. I think that'd be one thing maybe we could bring it. maybe that's for the other scenario seed, which is the Ravens Tower and the actual Ravens themselves. Do we bring them back? Okay, I'm wobbling now.
I can see, for example, the occasional appearance of a raven, keeping it relatively ambiguous, but almost in a similar role to, I suppose, again, a potentially helpful role. Not being overt, not revealing anything, but just sort of pointing in directions.
Maybe they're just watchers. They're maybe... Bear in mind that people, we're going up, collecting tokens, swapping them as we go up the country. Perhaps they're the arbiters, the judges, to make certain there's fair play.
I'd like this. I think there's probably some reason they have to stay neutral in this.
Yeah. You know, they can't get involved, because if they do, they're not neutral. But they're making sure that nobody's going, that nobody's interfering that shouldn't be interfering, if that makes sense.
Okay. I think that's a great idea, a reason for neutrality.
But also, you know, so the players don't realise, but the paranoia of being watched every so often spotting a raven, that little bit of paranoia is quite nice, because it keeps players on their toes.
Yeah. There's a reason for their neutrality. Are they actually this idea of the judge of the change?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Right. There is a lot there. No other factions that we want to sort of draw on? There's nobody else who's got an interest at this stage?
I mean, the only one I can think of might be the Order of St. Bede, because of the ghost of the bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was what I was wondering about. You know, sort of slightly, you know, crap exorcist. You kind of say, this is my job, back off, guy. So more a kind of function, really. You have to kind of, you know, push past to actually get to do your work.
Yeah, just very, very minor role.
Yeah, I'm the official exorcist here. Please, you know, just keep your nose out. But actually, he hasn't got any...
He's clearly incompetent, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, incompetent. Good, like that. Okay, so how do we actually put Rehair to bed, as it were?
I think he's got to finish his last service that he never finished.
Okay.
That could be a good way of doing it. You know, and that's a ritual in itself, because, you know, religious ceremonies are a ritual. So why not? That would be a great way of putting him back in his box as a rested spirit, maybe?
Yeah. Why was it the original instance was him coming back? Why is he actually a restless spirit, Matt?
So, yeah, there were two reasons, really. I mean, in my kind of mind, there was the fact the ley lines got disturbed. So the kind of purpose of his life, which was basically to sort of reconnect Norman England to Norman France, has been disturbed. So that kind of power source, that mystical connection, has been disturbed. But more acutely, it's because, yeah, Queen Rat has escaped because of the underground. And I think I said she seduced a priest, and that kind of brought bad luck. So that combination, those two things allowed Rehair to escape. So in some ways, completing the ritual with the Fae Court would also allow him to be at rest. So I think make something symbolic as well, like reconsecrating the church, as Kat said. Or we could even do something like, you know, it's the 800th anniversary of the church and he wants to be around for that, or something like that.
But I think it's a case of maybe not only do they complete the ritual with the French Fae Court, but actually they have to convince this stubborn ghost that they have completed the ritual.
Or as a kind of, you know, like random wandering monster kind of thing. He just happens to come up and cause chaos rather than being part of the deeper plot. But we could, you know, can change that. That was my original thought.
Yeah. So I think the idea that she's the red herring and we've got this, you know, the queen underground, I think is very good. You know, the queen a la Metro or something would be... Sula Metro. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it would be Queen of the Lilies or something like that. That's...
Yeah, I've got that. Queen of Lilies. Fleur de Lis. Okay, brilliant. So we've got enough to be going on with. What we will do is we'll make sure that we build in the other sort of seeds. So the only bits of kind of, I'll write up what the sort of précis is, what we've kind of agreed today. And then Matt, you and I will have to sort of try and flesh that out a bit if we can, if I can draw on some more of your time at some stage.
Yeah, no, of course. Be great. Have you published more on fairies in the liminal setting yet, Paul?
There's probably the text draft of a book somewhere for Kickstarter backers, but that will be out this year.
Oh, great. You might be able to refer to that, which would be handy.
I've got a front cover and a picture of the first chapter when the text is complete and edited and everything else.
Excellent. That's it.
And I think, Mark, what I would like to do is, sorry, I'm disappearing into the glooming here, is maybe have a think about what we can do with Gog and Magog and how they work sort of mechanically in the scenario. Is that okay?
It's just one word. It's anything, well, anything you want. It just, yeah. This is the GM's get out of jail free card.
You seem to be standing in front of a door. Yeah. Good. Okay. Are we happy with that? Is there anything else anybody else wanted to add?
Just anything about transition to the next step of the campaign? Is that something we need to think about, Dave? Or is that something you can connecting bit is?
Yeah. So the next scenario... It kind of falls between St. Neots and South Mimms. So I don't know whether you can remember, it was Tamsin who won the next scenario, but the big bad was Matthew, the other Matthew, Matthew from the Effect podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, his was around South Mimms. There was Little Miss Muffet. Little bit, it's not that bad. She's actually a spider. So she's this sort of giant spider. So what we had was the way that the scenario worked in the next one was Tamsin had said that there were an estranged husband and wife who both happened to be vampires. And he had become bored of her and she had become bored of him. And the ritual was to bring them back together, in order for them to then complete the ritual and move on to the next stage. And one of the things that we talked about was either he or she are based in the woods around South Mimms, where Little Miss Muffet, Dr. Muffet's daughter, now lives. She wasn't scared of spiders. She actually turned into one. Okay. So... It's. I guess, I don't know how we're going to link that necessarily, but it's the vampire, it's the sodality of the crown. Maybe that's what Gog and Magog do.
Or could it be, I mean, it's a literal chase. So you hand over the token, and then in return you get the clue or the, a marker or something that points you to where you need to go next.
Where to go next?
I mean, the road kind of guides you, but it's like follow the road until you find two lovers torn apart, mend their love and blah, blah, or something, you know.
This is interesting. Okay. We'll need to think about that, I think, how that works. How do you then move on to the next one? Because we rather thought that maybe FCMC would have planned out where everybody's going, I think.
Well, there could be something, and if we get Rahair back in the tomb, there could be something in his sarcophagus about how he's tracked out these ley lines across the country, and maybe the players then recognise his map as linking on to the Great North Road and make the connection.
I mean, do they have to do everything in order?
No. I was wondering whether the tokens changed.
If we're giving the information for the next sort of scenario, next one further north, as we go, then of course that doesn't mandate doing them in order.
But yeah,
if we need to basically give information of all of the scenarios, or at least the locations of all the scenarios here, if we're not doing them in order.
But if you put the clue of the location at the beginning of the scenario, then they'd only need to put that on the end of the one they just played.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they would know the locations, because it's where King James I and VI stopped on his progress south.
Yes. So we don't necessarily need to do anything here.
No.
I mean, you know, right at the beginning of the scenario, the players could have a piece of prose or something, obviously cryptic, but mapping out roughly where each of the locations is as it was known back then.
Yeah.
And that could also be there. you know, them figuring it out. That's if you want them to do it A, B, C, and D. But knowing my players in various groups I've been in, you can do that. They'll still start at Z and then go straight to C and then J. So,
what they like these people,
or just to make things even more complicated, perhaps. Well, no, but they will give them something in return, because I mean, this is a, you know, it's an offering and there has to be an exchange, because this is a sort of very sort of solid idea. But, you know, maybe they're giving them pieces of information about what's going on in the world. Maybe they're unraveling pieces of a bigger mystery the further that they get along. You know, there was some talk in the first episode and the second version of the first episode about, are we the bad guys?
Yeah.
Are we on the right side? So you can give some breadcrumbs in this. Every time they complete something, they get a... Which don't necessarily...
They know the location. Yeah. So they know the location, but they may not know who it is that they're supposed to be doing
But what I'm saying is, so they know the location, they go to the location, and they will find the thing. But what you can tell them about... things about their bigger journey, the bigger impact of their journey, what might actually be really going on as you start to unravel the plot, and people are trying to give them information along the way to point out to them that maybe they are the bad guys.
Oh. Okay.
Which they might enjoy. I mean, it takes all sorts.
So some info on actually what may go wrong, or who is, are we the baddies?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We will need Nook and Ralph to really sort of say, okay, this is what could potentially go wrong. Overarching, and then we can break it down by scenario maybe. Okay, good. So brief recap. We know there's potential for Queen Rat to be now a decoy. The ritual has to be performed with the French Fey Court, who Queen Rat has actually, she has kept hidden somewhere, and we now know it's the Temple Bar, and the lower ends of court. Rahair has been disturbed because of the Elizabeth line. She'd seduced a priest. She's now woken up. Rahair is going mad. FCMC want the disruption caused by a ghost going absolutely bonkers in and around London. Gog and Magog are the... this is their first appearance, and they are the doormen. They could also be either helpful, possibly disruptive, depending on whether the players and the GM take to them as a resource. The coins we've talked about, or whatever the part of the ritual, whatever it is, they're two-sided. One side has King Charles III on, and the other side has something relevant to the people for whom you're having to go through the ritual. We've talked about what's in it for FCMC. They clearly have some sort of sponsorship of HS2, didn't like the Elizabeth line, want it maybe shut down. That might be one of the clues or one of the elements that we've got in place. And also that they want the ghost to be disruptive. I've already said that. The Ravens. The Ravens are somehow either arbiters or judges of the change. They may have a reason for being neutral, but we might want to draw out of them either sort of help or possibly maybe hindrance. The Orders of St. Bede have a vested stake in terms of exorcism, but we know that they're incompetent, and that's not going to happen. Rehair needs to be put to bed by completing the ritual with the French Fey Court and quieting him, but also then him potentially completing a ritual, his last sort of service, potentially, or his last giving of the host and wine. In terms of homework, a little bit more work to do on linking to the next scenario, how that works, whether the ritual gives somebody something in return. And then, Matt, you and I will be fleshing out the scenario. And Mark, you and I will be having a little bit closer on Gog and Magog. And then me, Mark, and Kat will be looking to develop those seeds that we talked about, our unsuccessful plots. We'll be doing those as liminal seeds, scenario seeds in the book. Does that make sense?
Oh, cool. I could think of them as cruelly snubbed, but yes.
They will be in the cruelly snubbed section, yeah. Good. Okay.
Said I was going to put them in. I was going to have this whole article range in my zine of how I was slighted by Frankenstein.
The truth, yeah. Truth that could not be published.
But is here
bastard? Yeah, the bastard of Frankenstein's RPG.
I need to release a book like How I've Never Won a Vote at Frankenstein's RPG.
Me too. Ironically, me bloody too. And you could have voted for me.
That,
unbelievable.
You could have made sure you won a vote. No, no.
Yeah, but Dave, you don't need to win a vote. You cheat.
That's very true. No, I do. I am, after all, the bastard of Frankenstein's RPG.
No, you are the real monster. It's...
I always have a group therapy session together. That'll be nice.
Oh, it's the advanced knowledge, I see.
I am Arthur D. Actually, I haven't told anybody yet.
Yeah. Thanks.
You heard it here first. Brilliant. Listen, thank you ever so much, everybody. Clear as mud now. In true Frankenstein's RPG fashion. Thank you. But that's good. No, it's coming together. They'll get there. We'll be all right.
Is it named after the monster or the doctor?
we will of course be going to the Savoy for cocktails for the launch party. That's another thing we've decided today, so that's good.
Definitely
happy with that.
Excellent.
Right. We're playing with one of the bags of fake 20s.
Negronis all round.
I'm just imagining Mrs. Dave coming home to find a load of £20 notes pegged over the bathtub.
Yeah, drying.
Yeah. The police are busy people, Dave. You'll be fine, I think.
Do you know the real problem is getting the little, you know, the little what do you call it? The 3D hologram thing. I can't get that right.
I think it's relatively safe to do as long as you don't boast about it on a podcast.
Oh no, true. Yeah. I may have to stop using crayons though. I don't think it's given quite the right, you know.
Then we go to the Savoy for the launch party at night.
That's some top level thinking.
Bit of power cut, yeah. Oh, well, listen, let's all go to the Savoy now. Mm. Thank you very much indeed for all your contribution, and I'll see you with your cocktail of choice shortly. All right, guys.
Okay, bye. See you Friday.
Have a nice evening. Thank you.
Cheers.
See you, ladies. Yes. See you Friday. Thanks a lot. Cheers. Bye bye. Bye bye.
Stop, dude.